All right, the recorder is started. I'm probably going to be on the wrong page in the Kindle because I didn't have the Kindle here last time. So let me just flip over. It won't take me long. We're ready for NTI 3 John, which is on page 455.
See?
Okay. To my one self, love in truth. Our one mind is awakening, and you are joining with me in the awakened state of our mind. For as you look on your brothers, you realize now that they are not brothers, but an extension of yourself. There is no greater joy than this. There is no greater joy than realizing our oneness and accepting it. For this is what it means to embrace. In your acceptance, you embrace. As you embrace, you know the process of expansion. So one thing that's been taught in NTI, ever since NTI Romans, is the idea of acceptance. We were taught in NTI Romans that judgment was really the mistake that we made. When we had this tiny mad idea, this curious thought to have an experience different from truth. Holy Spirit says that was just a curiosity. That wasn't a mistake. And says, I'm glad that you can be curious and explore your curiosity. The mistake that you made was judging yourself for the curiosity, judging that you were wrong. And so what we were taught then is that judgment had become like this habit and that we just judge all the time and that judgment is really the building block of illusion. And in order to realize truth, we need to let go of judgment. And so the way we were taught to let go of judgment is acceptance, because acceptance is the antidote to judgment. And we were given a sentence in Romans to help us learn acceptance, and that sentence was, it is what it is. And I don't know about you guys, but I did use that, and I found it to be very, very helpful. When I was tempted to judge something, I would just say, well, it is what it is. And the judgment would just die because that was just a statement of fact. It is what it is, you know, and I would move into acceptance. Well, now what's happening is we're getting to the very, very end of NTI. It's upping the ante from acceptance, which can have kind of a neutral feel, to embracing all things, right? Again, more of a devotional feel, more of a love feel. Just embracing all things. And so it's telling us basically that in acceptance, acceptance is the path to our embracing. And as we embrace, that's when we're going to know expansion. It'll feel like a broadening of your own soul to encompass everything, right? And that happens through embracing just whatever it is that we experience.
So you're saying, whatever we're experiencing, if we could just accept and embrace, that is a stepping stone to help us embrace everyone and everything.
Yeah, and as that true embracing happens, that true embracing can't actually happen at the human level. Like the thinking mind, how is the thinking mind going to embrace things like ISIS? You know, it just can't go there. So when the true embracing happens, you've really transcended the thinking mind, you've transcended the human, you are into the soul of God, the heart of God, you're being there. And so when that embracing begins to happen, you will feel an expansion as well. You will feel expanded through the embracing of whatever you see and whatever you experience. So it's kind of a step beyond human. Yeah. But acceptance, accepting whatever you see, accepting ISIS, you know, the human mind can't embrace ISIS, not from our point of view, maybe from another point of view. The human mind can't embrace ISIS, but it can accept ISIS. It can say it is what it is. It can practice acceptance. And what this is saying is through the practice of acceptance, the transcendence to embracing happens naturally. Yeah. Verses 5-8. To you, there are no strangers. Although they may seem to be strangers because you do not know their look or cannot call their name, you know who they are, and so you help them. This is the knowledge Jesus pointed to when he said, "Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me." Now you understand that whatever you do to your brother, you also do to yourself. And so it has become your choice to choose love. Also, something else that just begins to happen very naturally. In the beginning, you know, everyone is self-centered. That's natural to the ego. And so we're self-centered, and so we think about me and mine before everybody else. You know, that's just the way the ego is. But another thing that begins to happen as you begin to transcend that human nature is that me and mine is not more important than everyone else. And you start finding yourself naturally giving of yourself and your resources to people that you don't even know. You may never see them again. You know, there's no reward in it for you. You're not doing it for a reward. It's just natural to help. It's natural to do that, because you could say everyone is me and mine. Right? Everyone is me and mine. And so it's just very, very natural to just help out in the human population, even beyond the human population, in the animal population. It's just very, very natural to help out wherever it's in your purview. You know, you can see, I'll hear help's needed. It's very natural for you to help there. And it's kind of funny, because a lot of people who, you know, have heard the Course in Miracles stories about, you know, if you're trying to fix the world, you're just moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, it's going to sink anyway. This natural helping isn't trying to fix anything. That's the funny thing about it. It's a natural helping without a desire for a specific outcome. One way I've explained it to people before is if your left hand was injured, if your left hand was all cut up, your right hand would naturally take care of it. You know, it just naturally would. And it's that kind of naturalness. You just naturally help where you see help is needed. Verses 9 to 10. The part of the mind that is not welcoming comes to your attention, but now you are able to see it and know it is not you. You can turn away from unwelcoming thoughts because they are not the thoughts you desire. In your turning away, they fade from the desire of the mind. So this is talking to a stage of mind where a lot of transcendence is happening, but yet the ego is not completely dead. So maybe as you are getting ready to, you know, reach into your wallet and hand some money to someone that you can see could use it right now, you know, there is this thought of, are you sure you're going to be able to pay your bills this month? And you see that thought, but it doesn't stop your action of handing out the money. You know, it's just, so you still see it, but you aren't paying attention to it. You aren't believing it. And as you continue to follow this natural transcendence that's happening in you, the ego is going to grow weaker and weaker and weaker because you aren't giving it your attention anymore. Witnesses to your mind come into your awareness because the witnesses are you. Witnesses, I don't know if I read that right, so I'm just going to say it again. Witnesses to your mind come into your awareness because the witnesses are you. Look on their faces and listen to what they say now. They speak of love because love is what you have accepted as you. They speak of peace and gratitude because peace and gratitude is that which you know. Now, I don't know that we ever get to the place where everybody loves and respects us, you know. As we know, they crucified Jesus. As we transcend more and more, we do start to get some different feedback. People start seeing us as the symbol of love. They see us as clear. They see us as giving. And they start telling us how they see us. And so what this is saying is listen. Because, you know, they're seeing light. Now, first of all, they couldn't see the light in you if the light wasn't in them. Mm-hmm. But they're seeing the light in you because you're allowing it to shine more. You know, you probably didn't receive that same kind of feedback 10 years ago like you are now. And so this is also a witness to your transition that's occurring. And it's asking us to listen to that. And of course, it definitely doesn't mean listen to it, with pride. This is speaking to a mind that is transcending, but yet still has doubt and maybe isn't noticing how far it's come. And maybe it would be helpful. It might be, let me demonstrate this. Let's imagine that I have taken this step, but for some reason I'm still leaving this leg back here. And this is really encouraging me. Look, notice the step you've taken. Go ahead and pull that leg up and be totally there. That's kind of what it's saying. So it's not a prideful statement of look how far you've come. It's more of a look how far you've come, now be there. Be all the way there. That's really what it's saying. In fact, I interviewed Mukti a month or so ago. Mukti is Adyashanti's wife. I don't know if you know him, but he's a fairly well-known teacher. And she talked about how when she had her shift, having her shift was kind of like raising up. She shifted into consciousness as who she is instead of, I can't remember her name, I think her name is Anne, instead of Anne as who she is. And but she talked about how after she shifted, there were still these ideas that weren't in alignment with the shift. And I asked her what she did about these ideas that weren't in alignment with the shift. And she says she talked to them and raised them up to where she was. That's kind of what this is talking about, right? Take the pieces of you that haven't quite caught on to your transition yet and bring them up. Get everything up to the step that you're on. So it's not a prideful statement, but we do need to notice when we're transitioning, because our ego mind will tell us, keep us back if it can. And we want to bring everything forward to where we are, because then we can keep going forward from there, right? Verses 13 to 14. Turn within and further the development of your awareness through your focus and attention. Dismiss that which is false and accept that which is true. So this is our third week in a row that we've really seen that very clearly laid out for us. Dismiss that which is false and accept that which is true. And the focusing of the mind, witnesses shall step forth to show you what it is that you do. But do not focus on the witnesses. Stay well within the mind. One of my very, very best witnesses, probably my very, very best witness is Jasmine. If I slip into ego even a nano, just nano slip, her reaction is so major. She doesn't tolerate it at all. At all. And so as soon as I see her reacting to me, I know I just spoke from ego. And so I can come back. And most of the time I know I'm doing well, because you know what? Most of the time my daughter really likes me. I mean, she really enjoys me. And many daughters, as you know, when you're going through those teenage years, they hate their mothers, and that's perceived as normal. Jasmine didn't really go through that. She's just always really liked me. And in fact, she had, my teenage daughter has a couple of times called me a saint. That's a little weird, considering what teenage daughters usually do, but that's how she normally feels about me. So I can watch her and I know that I'm listening to spirit because she's of the way she's responding to me. But I can also watch her and know when I'm not because of the way she responds to me. And so that's what this is saying. This is saying, don't focus on the witnesses. Don't focus on, Jasmine's being mean right now. Or, Jasmine thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world. Don't focus on that. Look at Jasmine and say, I must have just slipped into ego because she has just shifted into being angry at me. Right? So I must have shifted into ego. And the people who are closest to you can be very, very good mirrors in this way if you don't focus on them as being grumpy, right? You realize they're reacting to you. And Ron also, he's not as strong of a witness as Jasmine of when I slip into ego. But he's a very, very strong witness of the fact that I'm in spirit most of the time. Just how happy he is and how relaxed he is. I mean, we used to fight like cats and dogs. Like, and now he's just so happy and so, you know, everything is just fine. And so that's a real witness to my shift. So this is saying, look at the witnesses in your life, and you can tell how much time you spend in ego, how much time you spend in spirit, by how they are responding to you. Greet the friends that come to you by name within the heart. Remember that each one is but a reflection of the totality of yourself. Love them for what they are. Amen. When I wrote this, when I scribed this, I had not yet heard the word namaste. But that's really what namaste means. When you say namaste to someone, what you're really saying is hello to their divine self. And that's what this is saying. When you meet, I mean, I may still say hi Francine. You know, I'm not supposed to say hi God. People will think, oh, you're being weird, right? So I may still say hi Francine. But what this is saying is in my mind, say hi God. You know, greet the divine self in everyone that you meet. And that is the end of 3 John. So Jude is a little bit long. I mean, it's two and a quarter pages. It's not too long. If you guys feel like it, we could go on to Jude and then next week start Revelation, or if you'd rather end early tonight, we can end early and do Jude next week. I will leave that up to you.
Just soon keep going.
I was thinking, I think we have enough time.
We do have time. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you guys felt like doing it before we did it. Okay, good. So here we go into the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Jude. You are not alone. It is time that we talk more about what you are, that you may experience mercy, peace, and love in abundance through your understanding and your choice. Your mind is one mind. Our mind is one mind. There are no minds that are separate and alone from other minds. This is why there is no suffering, because there are no minds that are alone. There is one mind, and this one mind is fully and completely yours. Now Jude gets very, 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 very deep, just before we jump off into Revelation. And one interesting sentence here is, this is why there is no suffering. You have to understand the definition of the word suffering here, because obviously in the experience of the world there's suffering. I mean, you know, the definition of the word suffering here is one causing pain to another. And there is no suffering in that way, one causing pain to another, because there's only one. That's the point this is making. Whatever is happening in this world is not one causing pain to another, because we are all one. We are all connected. There is nothing that is happening that is out of place. And it wants us to accept this responsibility. So I'm going to read verses 3-4 again, then we'll move on to 5-7. Your mind is one mind. Our mind is one mind. There are no minds that are separate and alone from other minds. This is why there is no suffering, because there are no minds that are alone. There is one mind. And this one mind is fully and completely yours. And again, it's not talking to the person here, right? This is talking to our truth. All of the horror that you witness and believe in is in your one mind. That is why it is not truly suffering. It is not one mind doing unto another mind. That would be suffering. But it is one mind choosing unto itself. And so it is only the illusion of suffering, even though it may seem to you to be real. So let's use my body as a symbol of all of us for a moment. If I am doing this, ouch! Dang it, this hurts! Stop! Ow, it hurts! And what do you guys think? Am I suffering or am I just crazy?
Crazy.
Right? I mean, you can't really say I'm suffering because whenever I choose to, I can stop. That's kind of what this is saying. I mean, it hurts. It hurt just now. I hit myself hard enough to hurt myself, you know. It hurts, but it's not suffering because I can stop. That's what this is saying. That all of the horror that we see in the world isn't really suffering because no one is the victim to something. This is all one mind, and at any point, we can choose to stop. So it's not suffering because we're doing it unto ourselves. And it wants us to accept this responsibility. Now, most of us that are hearing this right now are not enlightened enough to see ourselves as consciousness. We still see ourselves as the people that we appear to be. But what we can do with this knowledge, which is really way beyond the person, what we can do with this knowledge is we can practice it whenever within myself I start thinking I'm the victim of someone, the victim of something, I can choose within myself acceptance. And again, acceptance eventually leads to embracing. So I can start practicing. There's no way that I can suffer, because any suffering that appears to happen to me has to have me involved. Like if Francine starts hitting me in the head, right? I'm only going to be suffering if I'm thinking I'm the victim of Francine's hitting. Otherwise, it's just a situation that is occurring. And I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I fell off the damn horse 2 weeks ago and it hurt like hell and I didn't suffer. I don't know how else to explain it. Francine's hitting me does not have to make me suffer, even if there's physical pain. Suffering can only occur if I see myself as the victim to Francine, right? If I judge this should not be happening, if I judge I want to be loved and she doesn't love me, right? So suffering cannot happen without my agreement. Pain can happen, but pain is not actually suffering. Pain is only suffering when we say the pain shouldn't be happening. I'm victim to the pain. Those are still thoughts. Pain can be accepted. Pain can be present without an ounce of suffering. So what we can accept is that no body, even right now while we still believe in other bodies, no body can make me suffer. Only my mental agreement that I'm a victim can make me suffer. And I can just choose not to believe that mental idea again, and I will become free of suffering. And that's even at the human level. Now, of course, this is talking about a much more metaphysical level, but we can begin practicing it right here at the level that we experience. So again, verses 5 to 7, all of the horror that you witness and believe in is your one mind. That is why it is not truly suffering. It is not one mind doing unto another mind. That would be suffering. But it is one mind choosing unto itself. And so it is only the illusion of suffering, even though it may seem to you to be real. The one mind is not fully aware of itself. And this is where the illusion of attack and suffering comes in. But the one mind is itself, and this is why suffering and attack are illusion. So this isn't denying the experience of suffering and attack. It's saying there is an experience. You know, there are a lot of people who experience suffering, but that's only because they don't know who they are, and they don't know how easily it is to make a different choice and not to suffer, right? So the only reason there's the appearance of suffering is because of ignorance. So you could say ignorance is the cause of suffering. Without ignorance, there cannot be suffering. And ignorance, of course, means not knowing who you are, right? I have come to help you remove your faith from the illusion which you have believed in until now and place it firmly with the one mind, which is not separate. With your faith placed in the one mind, you can look at the one mind, see the beliefs that have been accepted there, and then choose to use the one mind to peacefully see in another way. So, taking ISIS as an example, when I look at ISIS, what I see is a belief really heavily being acted out, but it's a belief that we are right and everyone else is wrong, and that the world would be a better place if there was only our rightness here. Right? Every one of us at some point or another has thought that in one form or another. ISIS is merely acting out a thought that we have all believed and acted out in our own way. Sometimes the way I imagine this is that, you know, we all think these thoughts, I'm right, everybody should think like me, the world would be a better place, right? We all think these thoughts, and then they kind of get compounded in one little part of the story and exaggerated, right? And so ISIS is the exaggeration of all of us thinking that thought. So what do we do about that? We start noticing when that thought's showing up and we choose not to think it anymore. That's what we do about it. We don't see ISIS as separate from us. ISIS is just the manifestation of our thinking, I'm right, if everybody thought like me, the world would be a better place. That's all they're saying, right? Isn't that all they're saying? In a very dramatic way, but that's all they're saying, right? So I need to watch for when that thought shows up in me, when I think the world would be a better place if everybody thought like me. And start letting go of that thought, seeing how that thought gets painted in the world, realizing I don't want to paint that thought in the world and letting go of it. So we are not separate individuals. We are one mind, and what is playing out is what we choose to think and believe. And so we need to start changing what we choose to think and believe. Just like I needed to quit hitting myself in the head, right? I mean, it's the same thing. Verse 11. The mind has no victims and it has no evildoers within it. There are no separate parts within the mind that run amok, separate from the mind that is you. The belief in separation is not partially true so that your power is somewhat or partially limited. The belief in separation is wholly mistaken so that the power of your mind is all that is wholly true. Now again, this is talking to consciousness, like consciousness in a nanosecond. If consciousness would wake up to itself in a nanosecond, everything would change. But we are consciousness. You know, what are we doing? We're sitting around waiting for somebody else to make the change? Yeah, you know? I mean, where is consciousness going to start changing its mind if not here with me, right? Verses 12 to 13. To look at the world and place blame out there is to make the error of not believing that you are what you are. And yet this error can only be illusion, for you are what you are, and what you are is wholly true. So basically, if I choose to look out there and blame ISIS, or blame the American police for being prejudiced, or blame the black population for, being so criminal that the police had to come down on them, or blame the political right wings in America for, you know, I could go on and on and on and on. If I choose a side in all of these stories of the world and I choose to believe it's their fault, what I'm really doing is denying who I am. That's what I'm doing. I'm denying who I am. So that's a pure ego technique of keeping us in ignorance. Anytime I blame anyone for anything. Verses 14 to 16. Whenever you choose to hate another, you choose to deny yourself. This is a choice you have made because you have wanted to deny yourself. You have decided to deny yourself because you have chosen to place judgment and hatred on your name. But what you must see is that you have made this choice. And so just as you have chosen to see yourself one way, you can make the choice to see yourself differently. So this again is referring back to NTI Romans 2 when we had the curiosity, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? And then we judged ourselves for having that curiosity. And it says that is the core of why we are afraid to awaken. Basically, the I am bad thought, we've talked about the I am bad thought. The I am bad thought is not a human thought, it's a divine thought. Not divine right mind, divine wrong mind. And so what this is saying is because we believe at the level of the divine wrong mind that we're bad, we don't want to see who we are. We don't want to face that we are that. But that whole thing is not true. We're not bad. You see, that whole thing is just a made-up idea. We're the ones who decided that we were bad. Therefore, we are the ones who can let go of that idea. There was no one to place judgment on us. We place judgment on us. You know, if I decide that I'm bad, I can undo that decision, just change my mind. And it's really encouraging us to change our mind about that. Now, Revelation is going to be heavily focused on the purification process. So Revelation is going to be focused on how to change our mind about that. But it's asking us to change our mind about the belief I am bad. And again, most of us are not in touch with ourselves as consciousness. So right here at the human level, we may be in touch with that I am bad belief. And at some point, we need to make a decision to stop believing it. There may be somebody else in your life that tells you that you're bad. But even if that person tells you 5 times a day, trust me, you're telling yourself 50 times a day, right? That person's not the problem. You're the problem. And that's what you have to see and decide, you know what, why am I doing this to myself? Why do I keep believing this? Why do I keep telling myself this? And start to make a different choice. Starting with sentence 6. I ask you to join in the decision to see yourself with me. Because, of course, Holy Spirit does not see you as bad. Remember what I have told you. Our one mind is in a state of awakening. Choose to stand within the awakened state with me. And you choose to arouse our mind to awake fullness. Now, do you think you can stand in the awakened state with the I am bad belief?
No.
No, it's not very awake, is it?
No.
Yeah, you just can't. So you see, if you want to join Holy Spirit by standing on the awakened side of the mind, lending that light to everyone through your light, then you need to make the decision to stop believing that you're bad. Follow within our one true desire. Let it lead you in all things and in all ways that you choose to see. Do not be swayed from the true desire, and in all circumstances return quickly to it. In this way you choose to join hands with me. In this way we rouse our mind to a state of awake fullness and to a state of glee. So now what Holy Spirit is telling us is if you really want to accept His invitation to stand on the awakened side of the mind, the best thing that you have at your disposal to help you do that is your desire, right? Just stay focused on that desire. You know, whenever you start noticing that your mind is lingering towards, you know, I want this specific outcome in this relationship, ask yourself, wait, what do I truly want? And you'll get to the point where you were saying you heard in your mind, just observe this. Is that what you were hearing? You'll get to the point where you can just observe everything. Because what you want is awakening. And when you're just observing everything, you're in a natural state of acceptance. And that's going to lead to the awakening to glee, which is the awakening to embracing everything. So So you want to just learn to let go of any other desire except the desire to be awake for the whole. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Be awake for everyone. This is your service. You know, so, you know, I think some people probably want to become enlightened in what I'll call an egotistical way, because, you know, they want to be the enlightened one, you know. But that's not what this is asking us to do. This is asking us to be the helpmate of everyone by having the enlightened mind, because it's one mind, right? Our enlightened mind is more light in the one mind. Do not listen to whispers of confusion, which you know, because they are whispers that confuse you. Stay clear that we are the one mind awakening fully. Stay clear that you are awakening with me. Stand firm for this one purpose. Do not delay among the lingering of dreams. So yeah, there are definitely thoughts that can come in and confuse us. And when these confusing thoughts come, we start feeling confused. The reason we're feeling confused is because we're listening to them. If we could just say, ah, that's confusion, I don't have to listen, poof, and stop, our feeling of confusion would go away immediately. So the feeling of confusion means we're listening to confusing thoughts. And he's saying, just don't. Just don't. You don't have to listen to confusing thoughts. Let's see. Uh-oh. Here we are near the end of my iPad wants to quit working. Come on, you can do it. Okay, here we go. Verses 24 to 25. You are not alone. We are one mind joined together in awakening. When you feel that you are weak, lean in faith on my strength. My strength is one with your strength. So by leaning on me, the illusion of weakness is erased. Amen. So don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, we do all of this talking about how there's only one, and some people are like, oh gosh, then I can't pray. I say, no, go ahead and pray. You know, go ahead and pray. You're praying to the one from the point of view of not knowing that yet. So go ahead and pray and ask for the strength from the one, whatever you choose to call the one, whether that's Jesus or Holy Spirit or Higher Self or Ramana or whatever. Go ahead and pray, because as you pray, you will begin to lean on that strength that is the strength of the one, and it will help you. And that's the end of Jude, which means next week we will begin Revelation. Which means I got to start remembering to bring a Bible with me, because sometimes we'll have to read the Bible in order to really understand Revelation. So, what type of an assignment do you think we should have this week?
I'm trying to figure out a way to be able to... I'm struggling for words here. I don't say believe or accept, but to embrace more fully the concept of oneness. And I'm so attracted to it, and I want to add to that oneness, and I don't want to add to the negative one, you know, and I want to embrace it more fully. Some kind of lesson that would help with that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what helped me with that. I don't know if it'll help you, but let me at least start there. We'll consider this a brainstorming session. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
What helped with me, I remember I was reading A Course in Miracles, and A Course in Miracles kept saying something like, see the Christ in your brother. And no matter what, when I looked at, you know, the people around me, all I saw were their egos. They were all acting from their egos. That's all I saw were their egos. And I was very frustrated by that. How could I see the Christ in all these egos? And so at one point I asked Holy Spirit about that, and basically what Holy Spirit said to me was, then start noticing that their ego and your ego is the same. And said, from sameness comes oneness. See, when I think that their ego is different than mine, then I see difference. But when I see that their ego is really the same as mine, it may manifest in them a little different, but they're acting from the belief that they're bad, right? They're acting from the belief that they're right. They're acting from the, and I have all those same beliefs in my mind. And so I started doing that. I started, asking, so why, why do I really think this person's acting this way? Well, he really thinks he's right. Well, how often do I think I'm right? And I just, started seeing that we were all the same. The shift to we are all one almost occurred naturally. But the sameness I was able to get to with a little bit of looking for it. I don't know if that would help you, but that's the way it went for me. Because ego wants to tell you your brother is different than you.
So maybe looking for sameness, or recognizing
sameness.
Myself and others, maybe.
Yeah, because ego emphasizes difference, and difference keeps you separate. When you start looking for sameness, then the separation somehow kind of falls apart in that. It can't hold up without, if you're not looking for difference. Like I said with ISIS, what I see in ISIS is that, they believe that they are right and that the world would be better off if there was only their point of view in the world. Well, I know. I mean, I maybe haven't done what they have done, at least not in this lifetime, but I know I've had those thoughts. I know I've wished everybody thought like me and thought it would be a better world if they did. And I think probably everybody has had that thought. So, see, I'm the same, I mean, when most people start discovering even this spiritual path, whether they discover it with A Course in Miracles or whatever, what's the first thing most people want to do? They want to get somebody else to read the Course too, right? Here, you should think like me, read the Course, right? I mean, we have that thought in us. Right? Well, let's see. It says, with your faith placed in the one mind, you can look at the one mind, see the beliefs that have been accepted there, and then choose to use the one mind to peacefully see in another way. I think that fits with what we're talking about just now. So maybe what we could... That's on NTI Jude. It's under verses 8 to 10. And it's sentence 4. So NTI Jude under verses 8 to 10, sentence 4. With your faith placed in the one mind, you can look at the one mind, see the beliefs that have been accepted there, and then choose to use the one mind to peacefully see in another way. So that could be our assignment, because that's what we were just talking about. So start looking for, when your mind wants to judge this other person as different, stop, pause, and look, wait a minute, what's maybe going on there, beyond what they're saying and what they're acting, and then have I ever in some way had that same belief, and then say, okay, so when that belief shows up for me, I'm going to choose differently. Right, take responsibility even for what you may perceive to be other people's thoughts. Take that responsibility within yourself to start thinking differently. Okay?
Sounds great.
Pretty advanced assignment, but heck, we're in NTI Jude. If we don't take advanced assignments now, we're never going to get to them. So with that said, I will stop the recorder and we can have a bit of silence.